Father God, we just thank you this morning for Teen Challenge, for those who are involved in the work there, Father. It's kingdom work. It's work that can only be done through the power of your Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness through the generations. And Lord, we just bring Norm and the others to you this morning as they share from their heart, Father, that you would be glorified above all else. We worship you today and we love you. And in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Everybody happy? Everybody happy? Well, I'm glad to be here. Honored to be here. At my age, I'm just glad to be anywhere. I'm just telling you that right up front. And so, but we're here for a good time this morning. Amen? Because we serve a Savior who does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so I get excited a little bit at my old age. And you have to understand that. Because he's never failed, he can't fail, and he won't. Now, sometimes we feel like, you know, and I had a guy say to me yesterday, he said, well, all the bad stuff going on in the world, he said, I don't know about this God stuff. I said, well, I do. And he has come to take care of the bad stuff. Because when people turn to him, things have to change. When the Lord comes alongside of our lives, it just becomes a brand new beginning for those who will call on him, trust in him, believe in him, and move in and through him. Amen? And so I'm here preaching to the choir, I know, right now, but that's just the way it is. We have a God who loves us, who has saved us, and who's able to keep us. And I look at these women that my wife and I are traveling with today, and it's a privilege for us to be with Teen Challenge. And I tried the retirement thing a few years ago. I was with Huntley Street for 11 years and then decided, you know, who wants to get old on television? And David Maines had already stepped aside, and Cal was gone, and I was the last old barking dog on the on the program. And so I tried the retirement thing. It lasted a whole 8 months. Because you can only wax the Harley Davidson so many times and do the wife's yes, dear stuff and all the rest of it. And then I was traveling a little bit and then so on. And then I got a phone call one day from the CEO of Teen Challenge. And he said, I want to talk to you. I said, well, you got me here on the phone. No, he said, I want to talk to you face to face. Well, we talked not once but three times, and he invited other people into the deal as well. And so here I am, never knowing that I'd ever be doing what I'm doing, never even thought of it, never dreamed about it, even though I met David Wilkerson over the years, who had the founder of Teen Challenge. How many of you read this book, The Cross and Switchblade? Quite a few of you have. And how many of you really don't know anything about Teen Challenge? You don't know what it is that we really do? Well, good. There's only one that doesn't know what we really do. Well, let me just put it to you this way. If it was the yellow pages you were looking at, you'd see Teen Challenge in there, kind of it being advertised as a drug and alcohol rehabilitation organization. And it's a residential organization where people come and they stay there for a year and go through our program, which is not easy, but it's good and it's right. But really what we are, we're not even so much as the idea of what it would seem like in the yellow pages of being a drug rehab center, although people call us that. Really what we are is a Jesus-loving, devil-hating, sin-chasing, discipleship-making organization. That's really what we are. And so when he's in the middle of it, we have to step on the outside of that and let the Holy Spirit do what he does in transforming lives. Our business to teach them, his business to free them. When they call on him. Amen? And so that's what it's all about. And folks, the reason why we do what we do, in January of 2016 till September of 2018, there's been over 10,300 Canadians that have died. Listen to that. Over 10,300 Canadians are dead, not intending to be, but because of overdose and this rampant thing called drug abuse in our country, which is out of control. And I hate to say this, but Ottawa isn't helping it. They got a new ID up there. If it doesn't work, give them more. Did I say that? Well, I'm going to say it because it doesn't work. And we're in a country right now that is in a drug overload. And today, this day, as you and I are sitting in this room, there will be 11 more Canadians that will die. Tomorrow, 11 more. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there will be 77 people that will die this week. There will be 335 that will die this month. There will be 4,015 that will die this year unless something drastic happens in this country. And I'm giving you the low side of the stats that are out there. And it's a tragic, tragic thing. And we don't have an epidemic in this country. It is pandemic. Pandemic. In fact, last night, I was outside and my phone rang and I'm there talking to a young man who's in trouble and started to head prayer with him on the phone and stuff. This week I'll have lunch with him. But the abuse of drugs has overtaken again in his life and he is in a mess. But on this week, we'll try to get him into Teen Challenge. So God is doing things when people turn to him, start looking for help. And so I just want to encourage you today that as you hear the stories of the precious women that are here with us, I want you to know that there, for everyone that you'll see up here, that there are 1,000 more that need help. And so, and I just want to say this right off the top, that the missionary churches, and really what Teen Challenge is, we are a missions organization to drug abuse people in this nation of Canada. And churches can't do it. Pastors can't deal with it. They don't have a place to house them. And if you just try to deal with counseling addiction, you'd be locked in a position for so long you'd never be able as a pastor to move among your congregation. So Teen Challenge is there as a vital arm of the church doing what we can't always do. Because we couldn't send addicts into your home because they'll rob you blind. Just saying it as it is. Because they're driven. They don't want to do that. They don't want to be unkind. They don't want to be stealing and all the rest that goes with it. But this action of addiction drives them. They're out of control. And until they meet Jesus, that's the only time that they really know what control means. And so we're happy, Ruth and I, to be doing this. And a few years ago, I met David Wilkerson and I read this book not long after I'd gotten saved, and that's about 104 years ago. And so I'm old, and my family back in PEI, they say, you know, why don't you move back here and retire, and you know, because you're past retirement age. I said, then what would I do? I'm only 70. What would I do? So I've still got too much fire in the furnace to sit around and just do nothing. And so this is an opportunity that God has given to my wife and I. We're out there full time. Last Monday, I was in Saskatoon, out in Allen, Saskatchewan, speaking to our men's group out there that are in our program there. Then Tuesday, I was over at our brand new women's center, just got our first couple of three girls that are in the program coming into a brand spanking new $5 million building. Beautiful center out in Hague, Saskatchewan. And folks, I'm telling you, my breath was almost taken away when I drove up to that building because it was magnificent. And the people that got behind that built this thing that was gorgeous. It's a building fit for a princess. And every one of these women who comes are a princess in the eyes of Jesus. They deserve the best we can give them. And I want to tell you something, that building is not only built, but it's paid for. Paid for. Not only that, but enough money that was raised ahead to keep the thing running for almost 2 years before we even have to ask for a dime anywhere. Amen. Yes, that's amen, brother. Thank you. I'm just telling you, one businessman got such a vision for Teen Challenge, and he put the first million in, and then he took one of our staff in our development department out there, and he said, we're going to go and start visiting people. And he visited enough people that they were able to raise that money, build that building, and have money left over to keep this thing running for another while down the road. There's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Right now, we got a group of men that are working on a new build. They're rebuilding a building in the Ottawa Valley up in Renfrew. We're opening another men's center up there in the Ottawa Valley area, which will cover Ottawa and so on. It is desperately needed. Addiction is rampant in that area, and so we're going in there as well. And we're doubling the size of our men's center in Alberta. We're doing the same thing in New Brunswick, and it's on and on it goes. So it's just God who's at work. And I'm going to show you a little video here for 3 minutes. And right on the heels of that video, Janet, you're going to come and share your story. Take a look at this, please.
Teen Challenge Canada is a faith-based residential program that helps adult men and women overcome drug and alcohol addictions. Each person comes with a story. Some dull their pain with marijuana. Others abuse prescription pills, alcohol, cocaine, methamphetamines, or crack. All have lost control of their lives. They're business owners, skilled tradesmen, computer programmers, general laborers, and hairdressers. Because of their addictions, their lives are littered with destruction, broken marriages, failed education, lost jobs, defaulted mortgages, and children taken away. To meet the growing need for addiction treatment in Canada, Teen Challenge operates 6 sites across the country for adults over the age of 18. Through basic biblical principles, students in our program learn that they are valued and can contribute to society. Best of all, they discover that God gives them hope, freedom, and a tomorrow. Teen Challenge founder David Wilkerson taught these same principles. He started the organization in 1958 in New York City. His pioneering work resulted in more than 1,100 centers in 92 countries. In our holistic program, men and women get healthy in body, mind, and spirit as they eat nutritious food, exercise regularly, and connect with God. With help from our staff and certified addictions counselors, students identify root issues, bullying, dysfunctional families, divorce, death of a loved one, rejection, abandonment, and abuse. These and other deep hurts drive people to drugs and alcohol for relief. Preparing to live productively, they learn to balance a checkbook, use a computer, and speak publicly. Students are guided to become better parents and spouses. Through work duty and internships, valuable job skills are gained. Those who have not completed high school are assisted to get their GED. You can help even more men and women start a new life through Teen Challenge. Take a tour at one of our 6 centers to find out more about our ministry. Volunteer. You can mentor a man or woman or share a skill with our students. Celebrate with us at a student graduation ceremony. Attend a fundraiser. Choose from a golf classic, a freedom ride and silent auction, a fundraising banquet, or our annual Christmas concert. Invite the Teen Challenge Choir to perform at your church or community group. Pray. Your ongoing prayers enable our students to overcome challenges. Sponsor a student for just $40 a month. Your financial support and notes of encouragement keep our students motivated to stay in the program. Consider a one-time gift toward our operating expenses or a special project. Together, we can make a difference in the lives of those struggling with addictions.
Good morning. Thank you for coming and having us this morning. My name is Janet, and this is my testimony of God's mercy and grace in which I now stand. I grew up in Walters Falls, a very small village just east of Meaford, Ontario, on a very isolated 500-acre farm. There's 4 children in my family, with me as the youngest, 1 brother and 2 sisters. The home I grew up in was not a home. It was just a place where we lived, filled with turmoil and anger. We were not nurtured, no hugs, no I love yous. All throughout my childhood, I felt very neglected and abandoned. My father was a rageaholic. He would take his anger for anything and everything out on my mother. I was extremely scared growing up. I can remember my mom saying, "Shh, your dad's coming, run." So I ran. My siblings and I often fought, as we had no example of what a healthy and loving family relationship was. As the youngest, I felt like I was the punching bag for my other older siblings. During my early years in school, I found it very difficult to focus and couldn't comprehend the work that I was assigned. I also didn't know how to have or maintain healthy friendships due to my home life. My formative years had no God, no church, no direction, and no love. My teen years were like the beginning of my life, lonely and scared. I continued to feel rejected and abandoned. I was sexually abused on a few different occasions by someone who I babysat for and family members. I tried to tell my mother, and she just shrugged it off. This situation and the lack of concern my mother showed caused me to experiment with alcohol. Feeling worthless and unloved, I felt like the real me was not acceptable, so I needed to produce a pretend me, which caused much inner turmoil, which in turn caused bad fruit in my life, manifesting as depression, negativity, many insecurities, and a false perception of reality. During my teen years, I stole from my parents and consumed alcohol on the regular basis. I left home as soon as I could, right after high school. I needed to escape. I was hurt so badly in my childhood and teen years that as a result, I hurt others close to me with harsh words and attitudes. I became a people pleaser and a perfectionist. I attempted to compensate on the outside what I was feeling on the inside. I felt I needed to earn my worth by what I did and to do it perfectly so no one could find any reason to reject me. I let myself be used by men, not because they loved me, but because somebody wanted me. At the age of 18, I started smoking marijuana daily. I continued to be involved with abusive men who abused marijuana and drank heavily. All I wanted to do was to get married and raise children with what I never had, love. In 1993, I got married to someone who also struggled with a marijuana addiction. We both worked, but I spent whatever money I had on weed and wine. The only times I took a break from using was during my pregnancies, but started again straight after all three of my girls were born. I struggled with stealing from my husband and his family as I needed new ways to pay for the marijuana and wine. My rock bottom was when I was arrested for theft and was convicted and sentenced to a 6-month monitored house arrest. My husband and I then separated. The probation officer assigned to me directed me to a building across from her office where I could get a free meal. This was where I was introduced to a pastor, and he invited me to come to church. I began getting involved, and I did get water baptized in March of 2010. However, I still struggled with abandonment issues, and I fell back into addiction. I had now been diagnosed with many health issues, both mental and physical, and I had some surgeries, which was when I began abusing Percocets and Tylenol 3s, in addition to weed and wine. This eventually led me to the daily use of cocaine, which was my final rock bottom. I entered yet another 28-day treatment program, thinking this is the one that will keep me clean and sober. It didn't. I returned to church, and on that day, I told a dear friend my struggles with addiction, and she told me about Teen Challenge. I entered the program on November the 5th of 2018, and I've been clean and sober for 6 months. My relationship with Jesus means everything to me. My faith means I now know that I will never be abandoned or rejected by my Heavenly Father. He loves me for who I am with an everlasting love. Hebrews 13:5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He loves us that much. Jesus is showing me that he forgave me, so I must forgive others. It is a decision not based on my feelings, but on the absolute fact that my sins against God were much greater than anyone's sins against me. If he forgave me, therefore I can choose to forgive anyone who hurt me. Right now, in my walk with God, when I feel like I'm not good enough, I'm learning that I am good enough. Who I am in Christ is much greater than any lie that the enemy can attempt to feed me. One of my favorite verses is Psalms 28:6-7. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusts with unwavering confidence in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I shall thank him and praise him. God bless you all. Thank you.
Wow, that's the first time I've heard Janet's story, and people go through a lot of stuff in this journey of life, and Teen Challenge is actually from 18 years of age and up, and if you'd like to sponsor Janet today, you could do that, and some of you, I think, received coming into the building this brochure. This is the most important document, I believe, that we possess at Teen Challenge, because when you open it up, it'll tell you certain things. What is Teen Challenge? Get help today. Change a life. And that changing a life is very doable. It's $40 a month, and I met Factor here this morning, one of the persons who sponsors some of our ladies at Teen Challenge, and that young lady just graduated a few weeks ago, who's now on, staying on as an intern for the next 6 months. And just this past week, she got her acceptance to Bible College at Emmanuel Bible College. And so right now, we'll have about a dozen students from men and women going to Bible College, studying for full-time ministry. You see, Jesus does change lives, but he does it because of people like you. We couldn't exist just on offerings, but it's the sponsorship that does it. And if you'd like to do that today, and I realize $40 may seem like a lot of money, but go to McDonald's today with yourself, your spouse, and two children. It'll cost you more than that. Just saying. And so it's very easy to do. And I was working for this ministry for about a week and a half. And I come home one day, I said to my wife, there's no way that I can be a part of Teen Challenge and not be a sponsor. Can't be done. And so we've been doing that ever since we've come on board and so on. And we'll be doing it a long time after, Lord willing, when we're done here. And so you can do it a couple of ways. You can do it by debit and so on, credit card, whatever works for you. And my wife and the ladies will be at the table after the service. And if you'd like to sponsor Janet, you can do that. Or you may want to hear what Summer has to say. And she'll be coming to share her story. And by the way, you can take their pictures home today if you become a sponsor. And put that on your fridge. And there's people who write, and they encourage the girls and the guys. And it's so important, because sometimes, you know, they're in the program for a couple of months, and the temptation to leave is overwhelming. And it's very, very difficult. And the devil will make sure it's difficult. But when the Lord comes alongside, and every day there's something new that they learn about themselves and that they're learning about the Lord and his goodness. So I just want you to pray for us at Teen Challenge. Pray for the women every day, even if you don't sponsor, because it is so vital what's happening in their lives. And so the baby of Teen Challenge is here this morning. And her name is Summer, and she is a ray of sunshine. Would you welcome her, please?
Good morning. guess I don't have to say my name again. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." As you heard, my name's Summer. I'm 19 years old, and I'm from the small town of Elmira, Ontario. Does anyone know where that is? Wave at me. Yeah, perfect! When I started school, it was rough for me because I was severely bullied. This got to the point where going on social media was hard for me because mean posts and messages were taking over my account. The only friend I did have growing up was my earthly father. When I was 11 years old, my father had left in the middle of the night. I wasn't aware until I came home from school the next day and found my mother crying and trying to tell me what had happened. This was the sad end of my relationship with the one person I connected with. This was the first of many times I felt rejected, unwanted, and abandoned. Life got quickly more and more difficult as the bullying continued, and I was diagnosed with depression. This is when addiction came into play. I became addicted to self-harm. At the age of 12, I had my first suicide attempt, but was of course unsuccessful. At the age of 14, I was diagnosed with anxiety on top of the depression. This was caused by a lot of things, but mainly because of the bullying I experienced. I was unable to do so much because of the anxiety attacks. I couldn't order food at fast food restaurants or speak in crowds because I had a constant feeling of judgment. Addiction hit harder after my anxiety diagnosis because I was prescribed benzos to stop the anxiety attacks. As a result of this prescription, I became very numb shortly after I was introduced to marijuana. At 15 years old, I got involved with someone who was a heavy drug addict. He treated me terribly. He was verbally abusive and treated me as though because I didn't do drugs, I wasn't cool enough for him. One night, I was hanging out with a group of people who I thought were my friends. They convinced me to try what I thought at the time was ecstasy, only to later find out it was crystal meth. The weekend after my first encounter with crystal meth, I was ditched by these so-called friends of mine. I felt rejected and resorted back to my first addiction, self-harm. When I had run into that group of people, they joked and made fun of me. They said it looked like I put myself through a cheese grater. I had this nickname for a long time after this incident. I was embarrassed, ashamed, and alone. This was just another thing I could be bullied for. Because of my dad leaving and various other bad experiences with men, I had seen very little value in myself and felt as though I was supposed to be treated badly. I held on to a lot of resentment in my heart towards those people who had lied to me, and also about being made fun of for an old habit that I thought would take the pain in my heart away. When I was 16, I lost a friend due to suicide, which is also the same year that my usage to crystal meth got heavier. I blamed myself for her death for a long period of time in my life. The addiction I had got me to a point when I had lost my home and ended up settling for being with someone who used me, someone who couldn't care less about me, yet again. I got to the point where I ended up living in an abandoned shed in the middle of an apple orchard. This low led me to be introduced to intravenous drug use. I didn't like this experience and regretted this instantly. October 2017, I found out I was pregnant. I had moved out of the shed and had moved into downtown Waterloo with my new partner, Tony. Things started going downhill again when we began fighting. The guilt and shame I had for continuing to use while pregnant was overwhelming. I felt again that I was worth nothing, because I wasn't happy inside due to the guilt and shame. I had tried to take my life again, thinking only that I wanted to stop hurting everyone and myself due to the drug addiction I had. This is why I have a scar on my left arm. On June 16th, 2018, I was so blessed with a beautiful and healthy baby boy. When my son Henry was born, my family came to visit. They told me about Teen Challenge. I knew I needed to figure out a plan as my blood had tested positive for methamphetamine. I had known a little bit about Teen Challenge as my partner's brother had gone through and completed the program. God was working in my life even before I realized it. I met an amazing family and God spoke to me for the first time in a very long time. He was preparing my heart and opening it to the idea of giving Henry the life he deserved. I decided to let this family raise him. They have been such a support system and are letting me see Henry grow up and still be involved in his life. On August 1st, 2018, I entered Teen Challenge. I am learning through God's love to forgive myself, forgive those who have hurt me, and to never take my life for granted. God is teaching me that He is always here for everything in my life, and I will never be alone. Since I have found the Lord, I have never felt more valuable. He's the Father to the fatherless. And if He finds it, truly I tell you, He is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. And in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Matthew 18:13-14. Thank you.
In a few minutes, Ed's going to come and the music team. There'll be baskets that'll be set up in the foyer if you want to invest in Teen Challenge and any one of these precious ladies that are here. The struggle for faith and the fight to battle against addiction is huge. And many times when you hear stories like this, it just seems like, well, you know what, these people just need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. Well, cocaine and heroin don't have boots or bootstraps. These people are bound in something that is so difficult that it can't be broken just by natural means. And we see and we hear all these stories. And Nikki, would you come over and stand beside me here, please? She's not scheduled to share her story today, but she'll be at the table. But I have the privilege, my wife and I, have seen all these precious lives coming into Teen Challenge from every background, every ratio of life and education, whether they're police officers or whatever they may be. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ do what he does best, and that's love the broken. You see, no matter who we are sitting in this building, you may not have experienced any of what they're talking about, or you may have. But regardless of it, the Bible talks about there's none righteous, no, not, how many? One. You know, we talk about being good and getting good, and the idea of this world really is, well, if you're good enough, you know, if you're good enough, you know, you'll get into heaven. Well, how would you know when good is good enough? You hear what I'm saying? Who can measure how good is? Now, good is good, but will it ever be good enough? Well, not according to our Heavenly Father, because our good that's supposed to be so good that we're working to be good still won't get you into heaven. And if it could, then Jesus going to the cross was a great, great mistake. But the reason why he went to the cross is because he who knew no sin became sin for you and me, according to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Because somebody had to take our place, because there's nothing we can do to be good enough to get into heaven other than Jesus and he alone. Now, you were brought up really religious, weren't you?
Nope, not at all, actually. I knew there was stories in the Bible and I knew stuff like that, but I never went to church, never came to know the Lord up until coming into Teen Challenge, actually.
So why are you at Teen Challenge?
Well, I had a very bad addiction to cocaine and alcohol, and I was working in nightclubs and stuff like that, and it just kind of started rolling downhill pretty bad. So I needed help because my family wanted nothing to do with me, and I was raised really well. Like, they were a great family, and I wanted them back.
So why would you even consider getting into the drug thing? What was the push that got you to where you were?
I was working in a nightclub, and I was working at two different jobs. I had a daytime job as well as the nighttime job, and the person I was dating was my manager, and he kind of, to get me to stay alert during my evening job, just fed it to me in a sense, and then it just grew and grew and grew and grew.
So Nikki, what's happening with your family now? I mean, you were estranged from them because you were stealing from them. You're doing all kinds of nasty mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. And so what's it like now?
They are my absolute biggest supports. They came to every visit day. They come to almost every outreach that I'm saying my testimony. And they've just, I feel like God is giving them back to me. And it's such a blessing. So.
And what do you see happening in their lives?
My parents have seen more church in the last 8 months than they have ever in our entire lives. My dad especially is definitely coming to know the Lord, I'd say. And my mom has always had, because she grew up Catholic, has had a background, but my dad has never seen church, so it's very big God is working in their lives. My sister, my brother-in-law was claimed atheist, but my sister now wants to send my niece and nephew to Christian schools. And, yeah.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
Thank you.
The ripple effect. When you invest in somebody's life, there's a ripple effect that just keeps going and going. And I've gotten to know her dad because he shows up, and I wear boots. And he loves boots. So we're kind of booting it together. And because it's the little things in life that grab the attention of other people. Amen? And so in all the years that I've pastored, been in ministry now, it will be 46 years in June. Married to this lady for 47 come August. I don't know how she's put up with it, but she's still here. And all the things that God does, and he keeps us. But everything that you do for Jesus Christ in any way, it has value, and it's like throwing a pebble on a calm pond, if you will. And all of a sudden, the ripple just goes right across that pond. The stone may have been very, very small, but the effect spreads out, and it goes far and wide across that thing till it gets to the other side. And this is what Teen Challenge is all about. Sometimes we look at these people as being a bit insignificant in some ways. Well, after all, they're just druggies. Pretty good-looking druggies, I would say. That's why I don't travel with the men. I would rather be on the pretty side of Teen Challenge. When I go with the men, I'm out there for 10 days at a time on the road, and we'll do about 14 or 15 services in 10 days. And so I could wind up in the West or the East or wherever they want to send me, and I'm having the time of my life. Because I'm seeing Jesus firsthand. Every time I walk on that property, every time I'm in a church, it's seeing Jesus do what we think he has abandoned us from. Sometimes, Lord, where are you? How come we're not seeing things happen? Folks, things are happening. And I want to declare today in prayer with you that all the Wood family in this church have no business being here. This is the Wood family. Empty seats. I pastored a church years ago, and we only had a handful of people, but all I could see every Sunday was just wood, wood, wood. Just wood. And then we started to see God doing things through people in that little church in Nova Scotia that they never saw themselves doing before in their lives. They started bringing people, inviting people. Oh, they got rejected, but they started doing it anyway. And the number one reason why people don't go to church today, as it has been for the last 50 years that I've been around Christendom, is the fact that nobody invites them. And so we have a job to do. And it's not just about addiction. It's about the need of our world and of our very, very broken society. You don't have to be on drugs to be broken. Every single one of us are born that way. And one day I'm going to have a severe chat with Adam. And if I get a hold of Eve, we'll talk too. Because their sin was imputed upon us. And therefore, we're born and shaped in iniquity. We all need Jesus. What does John 3:16 say? For God did what? Say it with me. For so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17? For God sent not... Not. He didn't send him to condemn us. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I love it when in Romans chapter 10 is one of my favorite places in all the Bible. Because in verse 8 through to 13, Paul talks about this whole deal of being saved, not because we've gone and calculated our sins, not because we sat down, well, you know, brother, you're going to have to confess all of your sins, and you got to, you should write them down. Well, where would you start? Where would you end? Because my life is imperfect, even as a Christian. I'm still flawed, but because of who Jesus Christ is, he bears our sins and iniquities, and he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, still making intercession for you and me who are saved but imperfect. That's who he is. That's what he does. And the truth of the word is this, is that I'm not really confessing my sins. I should one to another if we mess up. Tell somebody. Have them pray for you. But here's the kicker, what Paul says in Romans 10. He says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. This is not a good word. Saved? We don't, you know, it's not very popular in the modern day church, but it's still a good word to be saved. Saved. I heard a story the other day of a car accident, and two guys went into a fire and got a person out of that car before they burned to death. And I'll guarantee you that person who was saved is glad to be able to say, I was saved from burning to death. So folks, when we think of Jesus, we think of salvation. When we think of Jesus, we think of change. When we think of Jesus, we think of new beginnings. When we think of Jesus, he's there loving on us, making intercession for us. And one day he's coming back again. And I don't believe that's far off. Amen? So let's be on guard. And no matter how old we are, and I'm telling people, because don't get old, get bold. Because you got nothing to lose. And I'm old enough right now that I don't care what anybody thinks. Just letting you know. Because this Bible still exists for the purpose of knowing God, our Heavenly Father, and what he's able to do. Amen? Thank you for having us today. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for blessing us just because of the fact we were invited to be here. Now, these pastors who took off... We'll chase them down. But they're at a conference, and it's so necessary. My one son-in-law, he's the church growth director for the Free Methodist Church in Canada, and he does a lot of work with the missionary churches. And just wrote a book for pastors called Gutsy, about building and dreaming and doing it. And my son-in-law's out there, my daughter, doing it. In fact, Sunday morning, we're in Saskatoon for Easter Sunday, and my 16-year-old grandson out there was baptized in water. Last Sunday morning, we were sitting there with them. But the first guy that got baptized was a guy about 52 years of age, because where my daughter works, this guy works. And my daughter started witnessing to him, invited he and his wife over to their house, and then my son-in-law got involved, led that guy to Jesus, and there he was being baptized on Sunday morning with my grandson and four or five other people. You see, what happens is this. When you bring Jesus into the equation, not religion, not, you know, well, I go to the missionary church. Forget the missionary church. People are not concerned about what our background is, whether it's Baptist or Pentecost. I don't care what it is. Give them Jesus, because he alone is the Savior. There is none other. God's not confused. He's not about religion. He's about salvation through Christ alone. No other way into the kingdom. There's not two ways, four ways, five ways. If you don't come through Jesus, you don't come at all. Hello? So let's remember that we're here as his ambassadors. So you may have a few gray hairs on top, but there's still fire in the furnace. And so just let it out that Jesus Christ loves sinners. He loves people, and let's just love on them no matter how bad they smell or how hard they look or how drugged up they may be. Just love them. Put an arm around people. Just love them. Amen? Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that every place in this room, Lord, that shows wood will, Lord, dissipate, Lord, from wood to people. Lord, every one of these seats represents somebody's life. Somebody, Lord, is not here today. Somebody, Lord, is lost and they haven't yet heard. But yet, Lord, there's a place right here for them. And Lord, there's no more kind people in this world, Lord, than people who attend this church. And the pastoral team that cares. And I pray, Father, that they will see, Lord, the absolute vision of their hearts, Lord, being fulfilled as people come in searching and finding a place in Christ Jesus alone. And so, Lord, we pray for every person in this church, Lord, that's aged or young, whatever our situation is. Lord, you've called us out to follow you, to serve you, Lord, and to be a blessing. Lord Jesus, let us be more bold than we've ever been. Let us be more convinced than we've ever been that Jesus Christ will do what we can't do in ourselves. And so I pray this thing today, Lord, that you, God, you will use us, Lord, and that, Father, we will be energized because of your goodness. For Christ's sake, we pray. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen. So musicians and Ed, whatever's going on, just come and do it. Thank you for having us. God bless you all.